Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Now they always say congratulations. Worked so hard, forgot how to vacation. They never had the dedication.
Well, we asked and the texters, the listeners responded. So we're taking the temperature of Az fans.
Rectally.
It's all about the accuracy. We are sticklers. If indeed it's going to be Georgia between the pipes again tonight, how are you feeling about the Avs' chance? Let's get to a sampling here. Austin, in Georgie's last five games, he's given up 23 goals. That's an average of almost five goals a game. That's awful. How can you have faith that Georgie's going to make the switch in 48 hours when he's been playing this poorly for 2 weeks? Evans does seem like he's on the avalanche. Also, he's part of the 1% hockey viewership. The dog show has higher ratings. Okay, that's unnecessary.
All right, that's a little bit mean.
I'm totally in Mark's corner. Georgie's terrible. The Avs are out in round one. I put this situation on management. Problem should have been addressed a long time ago.
Agreed. By the way, like Georgie right now, you know what I would assume that he's doing right now? Because they're in Winnipeg, right? They play tonight. You know what he's doing? He probably got a little, like a little crock pot type of thing in his room. He's making chicken soup for
Onanen,
hoping he gets, I hope you get better. How are you feeling? He's calling him every 6 minutes. I'm trying to sleep. How are you feeling? Are you getting any better? Please he said, tell me you feel better.
He set Onanen up with like one of those humidifier machines and draped a towel over his head.
Right.
Breathe it in. Yes. Breathe it in. You want a little vapor rub on your chest?
Yeah. Little Vicks. I got Vicks. I got the humidifier. What else do you need?
I'm making
chicken soup.
Yeah, we're going to get you better. Pot. We're going to get you better, you little charger.
Yeah.
Let's see. If Georgie starts, the Avs got absolutely no shot, no matter how good everyone else plays. Start the bleeping Zamboni driver. I don't care. As a coach, if you roll Georgie out ever again, you completely lose the locker room. How about this one I love? Avs chances tonight are somewhere between 24% and 32%.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That goes back to, never mind.
That goes back to
those
my math.
Those that know, I'm not going to try to reset that one.
That's well played, by the way. Well played.
Isn't trusting Georgie the definition of insanity?
Boy. Dude, what the texter say? He's given up 24 goals in the last, was it 24 or 25 goals in the last four games?
23 goals. Last five games.
23 goals?
Yeah. Whew. If Georgie is in the net, Avs lose. Unless an arm or leg is missing, Juice needs to be in the net. Oof. Okay.
Gosh, well, this
keeps going. Avs are cooked. Worst goalie in the league. The series is over.
This could be, by the way.
Can we get that walrus from the Geico commercials? I'd feel better with him.
This could be Ananin's, like, Willis Reed game. Comes out there, vomits on the ice, and then just goes absolutely bananas, stopping pucks. Just crazy good.
Guys, I blame all this negativity for the Avs on the Nuggets. They've ruined us with all their sweeps. Six-game wins, usually in a playoff series, you just hope to split away games. Yeah, six-game series usually is. Yeah, Nuggets have kind of spoiled us because the Avs go into these two games in Winnipeg. Grab one. All you do is win one, and you've got control of the series again.
What would you do?
If I was Jared Bednar?
Yeah,
first
right
I'd get a haircut.
That should be your first priority. And I don't know what kind of establishments they have in Winnipeg.
I don't care. Go to a barber shop.
You just got to find a local barber.
Get it done.
And say high and tight.
Yes.
That's one.
The other thing I'm hoping for tonight, he's been kind of going just with the suit
I want the vest. I want the three-piece suit. I want the vest. I want the pocket square.
Yeah, the pocket square is going
to
be.
I think it's time to bring out the big guns in the wardrobe tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, what would I do?
Tighten up the hair. Well, how would you deal with Georgie? So you call in. You call Georgie. Okay, I'll be Georgie. You be Bednar. And you call him into the office. And this is, you know, pregame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll come in.
Okay.
What is Georgie like? What is his? Is he Serbian or?
He's Russian.
Same thing.
I think he's Russian.
It's the same.
Same thing.
Yes, coach, you want to see me?
Yeah, look, Georgie. Georgie, please.
I'm no good.
Please.
I'm no good.
You've got to keep it together, Georgie.
Again! I think that's pretty much exactly how we'll go.
I know. Oh, boy, here we go. Guys, Alexander Georgiev has become the Chris Bryant of the Avs.
Oh man,
that is mean.
Yeah, that's not. He's not hurt. He's just not good.
Like, but how? No, I mean this seriously.
What is the update on Chris Bryant? Where is he right now?
I don't know. I truly. It's like baseball season isn't even going on. It's like they're on strike or something, or locked out. I swear. I may have watched at this point. Maybe I've watched. Never mind a full game.
Yeah.
I maybe have watched 4 full innings of Rockies baseball this year so far.
I checked in.
Maybe 4 innings.
I checked in yesterday, but because, you know, because the Nuggets, you know, are playing. I just looked, you know, I scrolled it on my phone to see kind of where they were. But, yeah, I've watched more than you have, but not much more than you have.
So the Rockies are 5-18. They're on like 137 loss pace. Marlins are 6-18. Believe it or not, there's a team worse than the Rockies.
What's the White Sox?
The White Sox are 3-19.
Yeah.
I believe I saw they've already been shut out. This never can't be right. They've already been shut out 8 times this year. No, that can't be right. Did I see that correctly? Let me see if I can get this straight. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've already been shut out 8 times this year.
Well, how many?
Chicago.
How many of the Rockies been shut out?
I don't think they've been shut out 8 times.
I bet you they shut out 5 times.
No. Really?
Yeah, look
it up. Hold on. Like I said, I haven't been paying attention to them. Let me see. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so the Rockies are 5-18. By the way, 23 games they've played this season, they have trailed.
In all 23 games.
It's the first time this has happened in Major League Baseball since the Cincinnati Reds of 1931. That's not only are the Rockies bad, they keep doing things that haven't been done.
Yeah.
Since the late 1800s and the early
1900s. Right. Hasn't been done since 1908.
You know. Boys in blue.
Boys in blue.
Rockies have been shut out 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
4 times. And they are mad.
Yes.
I mean, they've heard. They have heard.
They're going to unleash their fury here.
Just, they've heard, and they're not
building,
happy
building,
about it.
Building. Richie Carney just came in, showed me, apparently, what's trending.
Yeah.
A Laker fan got into it with one of Nikola Jokic's brothers.
Not wise.
And one of Nikola Jokic's brothers just flat out punched him.
Popped him.
Now, to the fan's credit, he seemed to be able to take the punch. But what are you doing? What are you doing? Nikola Jokic's brothers are not to be messed with.
No.
Not to be messed with. Richie was telling me the story that, now whether this is, you know, fact or urban legend, that when Jokic was a kid,
his older brothers would like put him up against a like a barn door, barn wall, and throw knives at him.
Well, who?
Like,
I mean,
like right out of a carnival or something. Well,
circus club.
Yeah.
Well, henceforth, how do you think that whole thing started?
Well, there's more stuff happening around Circus Club, I guess, than just wrestling bears.
Yeah, that's how it all starts.
Why would you mess with Nikola Jokic's brothers?
Stupidity?
Yeah.
Drunkenness?
Yes.
I mean, there's two reasons.
He did eat that punch, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. He was like
completely unfazed.
Right.
It's impressive.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
He rocked four. Like, bring me more.
Right.
All right. So, wow. As fans, you are down.
As fans, not happy right now.
Down.
But you can understand why.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, I know you tried to build some false hope, Mike.
But it's not false hope. There's still a lot of guys on that team that have championship experience, and let's not count them out yet, all right? That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I counted them out, but that's fine.
God, listen to me.
I know, you just sound like you work for the front office.
I know. God, put me on the TV broadcast. Fan Flyaway is back. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to one of the games in the finals coming up in June. What you'll get is two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, and $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Hey, can we find Bedsy a Sport Clips in Winnipeg? Let's get him cleaned up.
Yeah.
It's getting cleaned up.
Is there a Sports Clips?
Gotta be. In Winnipeg?
In Winnipeg?
Gotta be.
It's almost like America.
Gotta be. Almost like America. Right? Yeah, just north of North Dakota.
It's like Serbia, Minnesota. Russia being the same thing. North Dakota. It's hard to figure out where North Dakota ends and Winnipeg begins.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Fan Flyaway, denversports.com. All right, a lot to react to. We got the Nuggets. We got the Avs. We got Zach Wilson. You got something else?
Stephen A. just brought up being on our show again.
Talking about not wanting to be in high altitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm texting him. I'm going to text him right
text
now. Hold
A,
on.
Text
here's,
A.
What, here's what we're going to say.
Just, all right, what are you going to do? All right, then we'll take a break.
T-E-P-H. Stephen A.
Stephen A.
Can't wait to see you in Denver. Can't wait to see you in Denver. Or wait.
No.
Looking forward to seeing you in Denver. I'll bring the Kleenex. Looking forward to seeing you in Denver. I'll bring the Kleenex.
All right. We'll get back to your text next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Did you hear back from Stephen A?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You texted him like right at the end of the last segment, right. So he got right back to
you. Yeah, he gave me the ha ha ha.
So you said,
I know. Trust me. I know.
So you sent them the text saying what?
I said, hey, brother, looking forward to seeing you in Denver. I'll bring the Kleenex, because he complained about how his nose gets stuffy.
And he said,
I know. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows.
He knows.
He knows he's coming.
He knows. He knows.
It's like, Dion, we coming.
It's why I don't get too bothered by what Stephen Hay has to say, because I understand that he's being the good employee
right
at ESPN, and he's just trying to, you know, promote clicks, you know, get eyeballs, and he knows what the model calls for, and he's just being a good employee, trying to do. But he knows the game.
He understands the game.
He knows basketball. He knows Jokic is the MVP. He knows Jokic is the best player on the planet, and he knows the Nuggets are going back to the NBA Finals. He knows.
Correct.
He knows. Deep down, he knows. No matter what you hear from him on television. We were talking about Nikola Jokic and video now going around of one of his brothers punching out a fan at the game last night. Richie gave me this article. Speaking of Sports Illustrated, in 2017, the Jokic brothers peeled back the curtain on their childhoods, saying their lives focused on camaraderie and the passion to compete. Nikola also shared what became the legendary Strahinja, I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but knife story. Quote, Jokic, he once held down my arms and threw knives all around my head, noting how it was punishment for not climbing a tree like his brother had asked him to.
Yes.
Nikola, quote, that was a little crazy.
Climb tree. You don't climb tree, I throw knife.
The other brother, Nemanja, left Sombor to play basketball in the U.S. He played at the University of Detroit Mercy on a scholarship before later transferring to the CW Post campus of Long Island University. He had a stint with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Steamers in the Premier Basketball League. Scranton.
Yeah.
Wonder if he ever met Pam. Home of Dunder Mifflin.
Oh, is that from Scranton,
That's
Pennsylvania?
That's Scranton. Nah.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. False.
Right. Maybe hung out at Schrute's.
I've been to Scranton.
Hung out at the Beet Farm. Yeah.
I've been to Scranton.
You been to Scranton, PA?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why?
Because our linebacker coach, Minuski, Greg Minuski, was from Scranton. Went to Greg's childhood house, Scranton with Greg. The off season, hung out. Yeah.
Either of you two giving haircut advice is about as worthwhile as listening to Sean Payton giving football advice.
Oh, that's just mean. You cannot tell me that when you see the cut-ins of Jared Bednar, you're not thinking the same thing I am. His hair is just disheveled. Way too long.
It's a bit must.
It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
Tighten your stuff up.
By the way, no sports clips in Winnipeg.
No sport clips in Winnipeg?
Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
What do they have in Winnipeg, Johnny? Do you know? Is it like El Sports Clipo or something like that? Do they speak French-Canadian? The French-Canadians are on my
They're
list,
on your
right?
list for not speaking Canadian.
For not speaking Canadian. That's right.
Oh, man, people are still down on Sean. We got a text here. This is yet another arrogant move by Sean Payton, who thinks he's smarter than everybody else. So Kyle Shanahan was arrogant when he brought in Sam Darnold for football rehab? I love this move because, well, I laid this out. When we started talking about what the Broncos should do when the offseason began, this is exactly the scenario I laid out. I said, keep Stidham, trade for a rehab quarterback. At the time, I was talking about Mac Jones, but I said Mac Jones or Zach Wilson. Trade for a rehab quarterback, and then draft a quarterback at some point.
Right.
This should not be revolutionary thinking here. When you do not have your answer at quarterback, you should bring in as many quarterbacks as possible until you find the guy.
Right. Yes.
So bringing in Zach Wilson... Sean's not bringing in Zach Wilson with the idea that Zach's going to be the anointed starter on opening day.
Right.
It's a competition.
Don't forget.
What's wrong with competition? This is one of the things about the NFL and their quarterbacks that annoys me.
Yeah.
And the way that we baby the quarterbacks in the NFL, it's kind of like the way we baby goaltenders in hockey. The idea that a quarterback in the NFL has to be appointed.
Right.
He has to be appointed and anointed. How about that?
Yeah.
Appointed and anointed. Why? Why?
You're not going to get an argument from me. How I feel.
If you got quarterbacks that can't handle competition and have to be appointed and anointed,
yeah.
That's the guy that I can trust to go into Arrowhead and stare down Patrick Mahomes and beat him? No.
Yeah, give me a break.
So bring in as many quarterbacks as you can. Let them fight it out gladiator style, and whoever emerges is the guy.
Here's what
Why
went,
is that so here, hard?
Here's what went down in San Francisco. Brock Purdy was the incumbent, and he played really well all the way in the NFC Championship until he tore up his elbow in Philadelphia, okay? So he was the incumbent. When Sam Darnold came in, when he signed, and he signed for less money than he could have gotten at other places, but he wanted the quarterback rehab, Kyle Shanahan told him this: you're not beating out Brock Purdy in the preseason because we got to play games, and we're not going to play a whole lot of games, so there's not going to be, you're not beating him out in practice. But there's an open competition between you. And don't forget they had Trey Lance, who's the third overall pick that they moved up from 12 to get. And they traded 3 first-rounders to go get him. There's an open competition. Within days, Sam Darnold had clearly won that competition. What's wrong with competition? And when you don't have one, what makes you think, literally, even if they draft one at 12 or even if they moved up and picked one, you know, at 8 or 7 or 4 or whatever it is. You just want to make that guy the quarterback? You just want to anoint him? Oh, if we get, you know, Drake May, then we got our guy. Really? You really think so? Hey, man, this is open season with a roster that has not been good for years. Every position is open, and every position should be fought for.
Coming up, what's trending? You know this is a devastating, can't-recover-from loss for the Lakers when this guy says so. You'll hear it next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
What a performance by Jamal Murray. Just adding to his legend. By the way, that would be never appeared in an All-Star game, Jamal Murray. Who the heck cares? Who the heck cares? Just keep doing what you're doing in these high-pressure games. Michael Malone just so impressed by how his team handles these kind of situations.
I think we have had just so many examples of that in my 9 years, but this is a really connected group, and they share in the other person's success. Now, there is no me in that locker room. It's we, and that's what a family is about.
Okay, so explain the secret sauce here to me. How is it that this team, sure, they're talented. Of course they are. But there are other teams with players that are more basketball talented than maybe the Nuggets are. So what is it about this team, especially this starting five, that in the big moments, in the fourth quarter of close games, always seem to come through? Yeah. How do you explain it?
One, they always talk about their connectivity. And Jamal talked about it, like, I'm going to get you guys the ball. He's not shooting well. He can't get anything to fall. And they're all saying, no, man. You're good. Keep going. Keep shooting. We got you. Like, there's a connectivity there. And Michael Malone said it, man. When you care more about the people that you lead than you care about yourself, when you care more about the people that you're surrounded with than you care about yourself, like, great things happen. And they are connected that way. And I can't necessarily explain exactly how it happens, but it has certainly happened for the Nuggets, and it is intentional. I mean, it is something that you work on, that you talk about, but to get everybody to buy in, that's what's special about it. So it just is. I mean, what you're witnessing isn't just great basketball. It is just great camaraderie. It is great selflessness. It is exactly what you're trying to accomplish, and the Nuggets are doing it in front of our eyes.
And isn't it a testament to that once you have embarked upon a certain kind of rebuild and you've identified the young core that you're going to build around, why patience and time?
Sure.
To develop that continuity, to develop that trust, to develop that connectivity is so important.
100%.
Because you don't get what you're seeing from this group if this team was just, I don't know, thrown together 2 or 3 years ago. You're seeing the results of 8-9 years of building this thing up.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question about that. And then the young guys come in, and you know what? Here's the beauty of young guys coming in. And we saw with the energy and the way they played defensively. I saw Peyton Watson give up a three-pointer. And you know, last night, Malone comes right up to him and goes,
that's exactly what we wanted.
You're doing exactly what we asked you to do. It was kind of one of those things. Hey, sometimes, man, they're just going to hit shots. But that's exactly the way we want you to play that. Mm. And those guys come in, and there's a standard that is set, and there's a level of selflessness that's been set, that's expected. It's the culture of your organization. It's fun to watch, man.
Yeah, that's Mickey. That's what you call coaching. Let me set this up. So the Lakers local postgame show, just a devastating loss.
Right.
So let's set the tone. So that you've got the blow dried. Kick Stock and Rock Berliner host.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have James Worthy on the... But let's set it up because it's a very somber,
okay,
funeral type beginning. Right. But here's what James Worthy had to say about it all.
The Lakers lose not only a 20-point lead in the third quarter and an 89-81 lead with 5 minutes left in the game. They lose the game and drop.
Jeez, man.
2-0 in the series. And... that's the most heartbreaking fashion
jeez,
you can lose, right, guys? 18-8 run to finish for Denver, and Jamal Murray hits the game winner.
Yeah, I wish we were at a bar right now so I could have a few drinks.
Yeah.
Because this was a very tough loss right here. I mean, I think of losses in Laker history. This ranks right up there with it. And the way they lost was just, you know, typical of what they've been doing. You have to value the possession of the basketball when you have a lead.
Done.
Wow.
Done.
Wow. James, hey.
Stick a fork in him.
James, drinking is not going to help your problems.
Just maybe letting you know. For a short time. Wow. Matt.
Dude,
that was depressing.
What a bunch of wussies.
But wonderful.
What a bunch of wussies.
Wow.
Are you getting...
Did I hear some tears in there, too?
The play-by-player, whoever that was, the host, was...
I don't know how I'm ever going to recover.
I definitely felt bad for the Lakers.
No, you didn't.
I did, kind of.
You felt bad, Rogue?
Yeah.
Why?
I was just I felt happy, but I was also like, man, that's tough. That's tough, you know?
Yes, and relish it.
You know what it feels
Enjoy
like.
Enjoy it.
By the way.
These are the Lakers.
Okay, this is really disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Rogue. Yeah, Rogue.
No, you have to have compassion for other
people. Hell no.
For the Lakers. Absolutely
and Laker
not.
Fans.
Again, Rogue, I'm going to give Rogue a hall pass here because she doesn't know what that means. She thought underwhelming was like she didn't realize what underwhelming. She doesn't realize that compassion means you feel. Yeah. By the way, I was so ready if the Lakers would have beaten the Nuggets to blame Stokely.
Why?
Because he was courtside with Peyton.
He was.
I love sausage.
Yeah.
Why would you blame Stokely? Oh, okay, just his presence there.
His presence.
I see.
Just, you know, being at the game, courtside, the attention. Oh, what, you want the attention on yourself? You know, I mean,
I saw when they were walking in. Peyton taking the lead, laser focus. Uh-huh. You could tell, looking for the seats. Where are we going?
Right.
What's our setup? Meanwhile, Stoke is like looking around. He's like looking up and looking around, like, wow, this place is cool. Oh, sorry. Where'd Peyton go? Peyton.
Yeah.
Peyton.
You know, I thought maybe after Peyton and I won a Little League championship together, maybe I'd be on the list.
Yeah. Those two are tight.
I am not on the list.
Stoke and Peyton.
Yep.
Tighter than mouse nuts.
They are. They are. Just where one, you can't hardly figure out where one stops and the other begins.
Finally, coming up tonight, the Avs and Jets. Game number 2. Avs looking to get the split in Winnipeg. And Avalanche players kind of bristling at this notion that after going 0-3 against the Jets during the regular season, getting outscored 17-4 in the process, that somehow they can get a moral victory out of playing the Jets close in game 1. Josh Manson, or actually let's Ross Colton, he doesn't buy that.
Playoffs are a different animal, and I think, you know, for us, we came out hungry. Whatever happened in the regular season, you know, it's a new season starting now, so we turned the page on that. We did a good job watching some video on them, kind of knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are, and tried to capitalize on that. So, again, it's just for us to, you know, learn from game 1 and, you know, move forward here.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, feel bad, Rogue, please stop.
Yeah. She's got a compassionate heart. We'll change that.
It's not even Nugget fans. We've got embedded NBA fans from all over the place that have felt the pain of being pushed around, dominated by the Lakers and their fraudulent group of fans who, many of whom couldn't tell you a Laker who played before 2000. But we're fans.
Yeah. I got this.
There's a lot of pain there, Rogue. There's a lot of pain. And to see the Lakers going through this at the hands of the Nuggets, not only Nugget fans, you got NBA fans all around the planet who are reveling in this. Reveling. Right. Compassion. Compassion.
I got a guy today. His name was Matt on X.
Matt with one T?
Probably should have been Matt with one T, but he was giving me grief because I was like, oh, please stop whining about officiating. Bad officiating is bad officiating. Obviously, you don't know anything about sports. And I looked at his profile. Matt was a Laker fan,
uh-huh,
a 49er fan,
uh-huh,
and a Red Sox fan.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Matt, who were all the great teams when you were a child, yeah, growing up?
Yeah.
No geographic location, yes, area, yes, you know?
No. Just, please, Matt, tell me one Red Sox player before 2000.
Yeah.
Please. I'll give you about 50. You give me one. See if you can do it.
Unbelievable. What is he missing? He's a Laker fan.
Laker, 49er.
49er. Red Sox. And he's probably a Red Wing fan.
Red Wing, or Ranger. Rangers,
yeah,
fan.
Yeah.
You know, college basketball, he likes Duke.
Yeah.
College football, likes Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Big Bama guy.
You know. Big this soccer guy. Fan. Love Man U.
Yeah. This guy.
This guy.
Matt.
If that's even your name.
All right,
so Rogue, have you seen the error of your ways?
Yes.
Do you realize there's no room for compassion here?
No.
What?
I'm just, it's not that I feel bad for the fans.
Ahead. Dig a deeper hole.
Just understand that feeling of like blowing a game like that. And I'm just saying I recognize how bad that sucks. That's it. So settle down, listeners.
Wow.
Don't come for me.
Well, yeah. That'll
a little
end.
Too late for that.
That'll end well for you. Trust me.
Too late.
Years, decades of experience, Rogue.
Oh, trust me. They're going to come get a taste.
That's not going to end well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what the text line has in store for Rogue.
Good idea.
We'll do that next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, Sydney Cora, now part of our team here. Rogue, Sid the Kid,
She's getting her initiation.
Yeah, boy, she's getting absolutely pummeled. By the way, I got some great, though, good news, you know, to break up the bad news for Sid. I got some good news, Mike. Breaking news. Good okay, news.
Please.
Peyton Manning set his alarm.
What?
Peyton Manning set his alarm.
What does that mean?
Well, Stokely's here, so he must have set his alarm so Stokely didn't sleep through the show. So, Stoke is here, means that Peyton set his alarm, got Stoke here on time. So, we appreciate you, Peyton. Thank you. Late night, nuggets, you know, sleepy.
Let's see. This rogue is seriously pissing me off.
Wow.
Wow. Anyone who feels empathy for the fakers like Rogue would also be the first in line to hand Robert Kraft a towel after his massage?
What?
All right, first of all, that makes no sense.
That makes no sense, RJ and Loveland.
Yeah.
Bleep the Lakers and their 18 championships. Mm. Wow, you guys got quite the pair now with Rogue and Marillette.
Oh, Rogue, you just got lumped with Marillette.
I wasn't even, I knew that'd be coming for you, but I didn't think it'd be that.
Yeah, that's just.
I don't really understand what the problem is here.
You're showing compassion for the Lakers.
No, no, don't you think that being pitied is worse than being hated? I feel like when you hate someone, they're winning. I feel like when you pity them, that's like the real dagger.
Nice try.
No,
people
nice
don't
try.
Understand.
No.
A
good
effort. A for effort.
Good effort. Yeah, good effort.
Brian Windhorst says that was the best attempt.
No, John doesn't understand.
Good one. Good one.
Johnny. Good. Johnny from the top rope. I mean, since we're piling on the rope.
No, that's not from the top row. You guys are behind on emotional warfare.
How about this one? Should we expect anything else from somebody who tried to change the Friday morning song? Good point. Good point.
That's how she got her nickname.
We all know that Friday song is long overdue.
Oh.
To be gone.
Talk to the 6 a.m. listeners if you can convince them. All right. A little sampling of how people feel about showing empathy, sympathy, feelings for the Lakers.
I'm just saying the more you hate on someone, the more motivation they have to be better.
Oh, yeah, because the Lakers are really, really showing how mad
they are. I'm not saying
they're kind of like the Rockies, what they're going to do offensively this year.
Oh, man.
I'm not scared that they're going to do anything. I'm just saying that's the concept.
Uh-huh.
The Rockies are mad, though. They've heard they've heard the noise. They've heard the fact that nobody really thinks they're going to do much, and they are mad, Mike.
Bro, you got to understand that, and this is... First of all, you already have, and let me speak for longtime Nugget fan here. You already have in longtime Nugget fan, they're still pinching themselves. Like, is this real? Is what's happening to us real? After decades of always coming up short, not having enough, always losing in heartbreaking fashion or never even having a chance or having some good teams but running up against really, really great Laker teams and always being put back in our place. Same thing with the Spurs, always being put back in our place by Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich and the Spurs. What's going on right now is something that they're having a hard time wrapping their mind around, and the fact that they now own the Lakers, and it's the Lakers who are choking, it's... You got to understand the psychology of Nugget fans, that this is something that they never, ever thought they'd see.
Boston.
Hey, Mike, where were you born?
I was born back east.
Where did you grow up?
In New England.
When did you move here?
About 27 years ago.
How old were you?
27.
Okay, well, I was born and raised here in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
I know what it means to be a Colorado sports fan.
Then why are you showing empathy for the Lakers? You should know, as somebody who grew up here, how people feel about the Lakers. And this is a time right now to revel in what the Nuggets are doing to the Lakers, and more importantly, what the Lakers are doing to themselves.
For me, it's satisfying for me to take this position. It's more satisfying than being like, ha ha, hater, like being like that. I feel like that's like I feel like I'm a level above where you're at. I feel like if you really...
Oh, she's being more mature.
Yeah, I feel like if you really want to be like the ultimate like Lakers hater, then you'll pity them.
Well,
so that's
as a sports fan, the sports fan in me is not really interested in being mature.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you that.
I can see that, and that's very evident on the text line.
Yes.
See, because I feel...
We're not interested in being mature. We're interested in being
But this is my whole...
Petty.
This is my whole stance on how I operate. I'm a really gracious loser, but I'm an absolute jerk when it comes to winning. And we are winning right now. And I'm going to use this opportunity to continue my jerkiness, my pettiness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly how I feel.
It doesn't matter. You could close your eyes. You could be blindfolded, put in one of those white panel vans that picks Mark up every time when he's going out on a road trip. You could be dropped down in the middle of anywhere America. You do not know what city you're in. Okay, and you could pick up on the conversation about that team and whoever their rival is, and you're going to hear the same exact stuff you're hearing today. It's endemic around sports, and I love it.
Rogue is more mature
than
us.
I'm not saying
you're showing a level of maturity that, quite frankly,
I don't possess. Yeah,
and I'll own that.
I'm not saying anyone's wrong. I just said this is how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to be petty and wild, that's cool. Do it.
You can relish in it without being petty as well.
I can't. You might be able to. I have to be petty. That's why the first thing I did was tag Windhorst in a tweet last night after a win.
You did.
I did.
You did.
And I've known Brian forever. But you know, I'm just not grown up.
Here they come, Rogue. She's not a native anymore. End of story.
Mm. Rogue, I've been here.
Rogue, your pittiness is underwhelming.
Yes. Okay. Rogue, you might have to craft tomorrow. Here's going to be your homework. You know, like Mike gives me homework. Yeah. Like, hey, we want to do a, you know, Telestrator Tuesday. Yep. Or, you know, hey, can you call somebody and get a FOS on? And this is serious. Tomorrow, 6 a.m., right off the bat, I want a well-crafted apology letter to Nuggets fans for not being petty enough. Can we make that happen? Yeah.
What am I apologizing for?
That you're not petty enough. That you're, you know, I mean,
as I said, I'm a level above everyone. Like, if you're on my level, you're...
Level above everyone.
Level above everyone.
I'm saying if you really want to...
So you're superior.
I'm saying if you really want to...
This is going really well.
Yeah.
If you really want to show the Lakers who's boss, then you should be on this type of energy, not the...
Well, this person agrees with you. Rogue gets it. Y'all don't understand emotional warfare.
Exactly.
No, we're guys.
Duh.
So you're saying it would be more sad. So, all right, let me just see if I get this straight. For all the Nugget fans out there, you're saying, Rogue, it would be more satisfying for Nugget fans if they just sat back today and said, you know, I really feel bad for the Lakers.
Yeah. You pat them on the back and you say, sorry, buddy.
I feel bad for them.
Maybe in the next 10 games,
right?
We get a win.
That's...
Yeah, instead of being like...
No, I like doing that better.
Yeah, I do too.
I do too.
That's all I'm saying.
The emotional. Maybe we should just give the Lakers a silent treatment if we're going to go emotional warfare.
50-year Nugget fan. I'm so reveling in the Nuggets punking the Lakers. I can't stand them. I love watching them get their butt beat and run out of town. It's glorious.
It is glorious.
Yeah, see, I you know, the thing about it, Rogue, you understand. You're asking a lot of men on this text line. I guarantee a lot of men, you're asking them to be emotionally mature, and
that's not gonna happen.
You don't even have to be mature. It's more so like devious.
Whatever level of elevated thinking that you're
feels like maturity.
Advocating, just we're not capable of.
Yeah, it feels like maturity, we're just not.
And we own it.
That's
all
right.
That's the beauty of us. We own it. Okay, we own it. Yeah. Okay, Stoke, fresh off his night at the game.
Right.
First-hand experience of what it was like to be in the arena last night.
Oh my gosh. Cannot wait to
listen. He was at the game. Dover and Stoke coming up next.